Let Mummy Talk. Episode 35.
Hello, dear. Hello, and welcome to episode 35 of Let Mummy Talk, the podcast. That intro, that hello there thing, was basically a shout out to my late granddad up in heaven, because whenever I would call or go visit him at his house, and I'd be like, hey, granddad, it's Lynique. Never ever hello, it's always hello dear. So yeah, that's my little way of greeting you guys tonight. And I say tonight because I'm recording this on a Wednesday night. It's pretty late, my throat is sore and I'm tired, but you know, dedication is dedication, and this is my little happy place, so hoping it becomes your happy place as well. My name is Lynique. If you are new here, welcome, enjoy the ride, grab a cup of tea and get comfortable, guys. I am a mother, a lover, a wife and a friend, and just here trying to have a good life. Do you know what I mean? Have a good life, be kind and do great stuff in this life. If you are a returner, big up yourself, because you come back again, and I really appreciate that. Your ears could be anywhere listening to anything, but you're right here with me, so I really appreciate ya. Let Mummy Talk is a parenting and well-being podcast, and it's about positive mental and physical health. We talk about parenthood, relationships, you know, popular culture and pretty much everything in between to help you be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. This is basically my happy place. I started the podcast during lockdown, and yeah, you know how tough that was. I ain't got to remind you about that, have I? It's basically a little bit of escapism from the messed up world that we live in. So, how have you been? What's been popping? What's been happening? What is taking your energy of late? And also, what is bringing you the most joy of late? Because whatever that is, you need to do even more of that. You know, we want the joy, the happy moments, guys. That's what life's about. So if you don't know, I have two children, a 9-year-old son called Caden, shouts out to Kay, and a 6-year-old daughter called Callie. And sometimes they like to ask me questions. They're very nosy.
What are you loving right now, Mummy?
All right, what am I loving? I'm loving my children's love for praying, especially my daughter Callie. Like, when I say goodnight and I try to, you know how it is, mums, all right? Mums and dads, if you're listening, when you say goodnight to them and you try to just get out of the room because you're just exhausted and you're just desperate to go to the bedroom and maybe scroll on your phone or watch a bit of Netflix, whatever it is. So you're trying to escape the room and you're trying to get out quick. And all I hear is, our Father who art in heaven, that's my daughter's way of reminding me that I forgot to pray with my kids. And you know, I feel a bit shame. I'm like, okay, there we have it. So let me go back and do what I should be doing, which is praying. So I absolutely love that. I taught them the Lord's Prayer maybe like, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago now. So yeah, they're very, very passionate about praying, and every night it's just beautiful to hear what they're thankful for, what they're saying they're blessed for, what they're grateful for, and also where they wish to send God's love and God's guidance, God's support for those who are less fortunate than themselves. It's just really nice to hear my kids take a moment to recognize that they are blessed, and also to pray for other people who may not be as blessed. Every single night without fail, they say, thank you for my family, thank you for school, thank you for food. And they always, always say, we're praying for the people in Palestine, Lord Jesus, please, 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 please help stop the fighting. And it's beautiful to hear, very, very beautiful, but also just sad that it's actually still going on.
Positive vibes only, Mummy.
And what also makes me really happy is the fact that they have a relationship with God. Like, I don't think it's ever too young to introduce children to religion or to your beliefs. And yeah, they've got a relationship and I love to see it.
This is Callie. You're listening to my Mummy's podcast, Let Mummy Talk. Isn't it great?
Also, we had parents evening tonight, and I don't really get nerves with parents evening because my kids are pretty, like, they're pretty good. They're good kids. And we do a lot of home learning, and yeah, they're pretty good, basically. So yeah, it was just like, I wonder what the teachers will say. And it was good, guys. It was really, really good. So if you've got parents evening coming up, obviously here in the UK, it's almost the end of term. So therefore, we will be having parents evening for a lot of schools. So I do hope it goes well, and I hope they don't disappoint you. It's not all about me though. So what are you loving and what are you grateful for in your life? Because I promise you, no matter what is going on, no matter how tough your circumstances are right now, there's always something that will make you feel grateful. There's always something to be positive about. Even if it's the smallest thing, there is always something. Right, so last weekend, I was invited to a Bible and Bite session with my good friend Maya. And guys, it was amazing. It's my first, like, this is quite embarrassing to admit it, but it's my first Bible study session I've ever been to. But wow, was it powerful. She did an amazing job. So shouts out to Maya and every single one of these amazing ladies that were there in attendance on the day. We read Judges chapter 6-7, which is all about the life of Gideon, whom God basically trusted to lead an army to defeat the Midianites who'd taken over Israel. And basically, Gideon didn't believe he was the one. He was like, Lord, why me? Like, I'm the weakest in my family. Like, you got the wrong one, basically. Don't pick me, Lord. Choose someone else. Like the meme on socials where it's like, pick someone else, whatever she says. But yeah, Gideon was not feeling it. He was a bit like, it's not me, Lord. And then he doubted whether or not it really was God asking him to be the one to lead the army. And he asked for signs and God sent him many signs. And then eventually, after many signs, Gideon's like, all right, I've got to do this. With God by my side, I can do this. And he eventually went on with God's help and the small army to defeat the Midianites. So that was really powerful in a sense where it makes you really reflect on how many times within your life you are told, you are sent signs that you are supposed to be doing something, but you question it. You're like, nah, I don't know. I don't think I'm really capable of that. But God's telling you, like, you can do it. Like, you have got this. I believe in you. I know you can do it. I can see the vision. You just need to believe in yourself. So that is the message from me to you today. Believe in yourself. If God can see it in you, you have to fulfill that. You can do it. Just sometimes it's about taking that first step. Even when you can't see the rest of the steps, just take the first one in faith, that leap of faith, and go for it, whatever it may look like, whatever it may be for you. And remember, God sees things in us that we ourselves struggle to see. So as much as you may be thinking, like Gideon, I can't do that. Do it. Do it and do it with confidence. And if you're not doing it with confidence, still do it because the confidence will grow. I promise you that much.
Ooh, that's a word.
Moving on to today's subject. You know what, guys? I'm going to say it. It's a juicy one still. Today's subject, we're talking about how you check in on the mental health of your children and whether or not you've ever questioned the part you play in their mental well-being. Take it even further back than that. Who you are today and how you are and how you cope and deal with things mentally and how that has been influenced by how your parents parented back in the day. It's a deep one because there are some adults right now walking around slightly messed up because of the way their parents treated them as children. We don't want to be those parents. We want to do better. So let's try and heal. Let's try and do that right now.
Big boy move.
We have a huge influence over our children and who they are as people. Just look at little kids copying their parents. Like even my kids, like they're not even that little anymore. But from a very young age, I was very, very much aware of how susceptible they were to everything I did, everything I said. They would just copy me. And even to now, they still watch me and they copy and emulate what I do. So you've got to be very aware of that. So we have a huge influence, right? And anything from the values they hold, their choices, behaviors, and their overall health, we are in control of that as parents. That's a massive responsibility. And their mental health is no exception. If I'm having an off day, for example, which for my kids and husband means I'm quiet, I'm not making my usual jokes. I'm usually quite a bantery person. So if I'm quiet and not making my usual jokes, because maybe I've got a lot on my mind or I feel some type of way and, you know, it's just quiet because I'm not singing, I'm not being the usual clown, the whole house seems quieter. My daughter used to come and sit with me and just stare at me, and she's so sensitive and so aware of what's going on with me that she's sit there and stare at me and tell me that I look sad. So no matter how good you think you are at hiding things, children see it. And if you take it even deeper, when my sister was in hospital, so about last year, my sister, who is only a year older than me and she's like my best friend, she got really quite unwell and she was in hospital, quite serious. And well, I say quite, it was very serious, and it knocked me for six and I was not myself. Like, I mean, how can you be? You're just worrying. You're just literally struggling to get through day to day. And you don't have the opportunity to kind of sit down and be like, I can't do this because you have kids. You have to keep, and that's the thing of kids. You have to keep going. We know this as mums, right? We have to keep going. And that's what I did. And I kept going. I did the best I could. I had my husband, who was a really, really strong support system for me. But even in spite of me trying to like keep on keeping on, my mental health was suffering, right? I found it hard to find the light, and my kids could see that because I couldn't hide it, because that is how deeply I was affected by what was going on. The trauma of what was going on was a lot. to keep it 100 with you, I couldn't even hold my tears back in front of my kids. Like, I was crying a lot around that period of time. It's real, right? It's important that kids understand that emotions are normal and not every day is rosy and happy. There are things that happen in life that make you sad, and children need to understand that. So my sadness and my worry rubbed off onto them, and they also realized the seriousness of the situation of my sister or their auntie being in hospital. But I chose, this is the key thing, I chose to communicate with them very openly and let them know what was happening and why mummy wasn't her usual bubbly self, and that it had nothing to do with them. I had to reassure them it was nothing to do with them, it's just the worry and the concern. And this gave them context and an explanation as to why mummy was a little bit different and maybe a little bit quiet.
Listen up. This bit's important.
So as parents, we play a key, like I'm gonna say again, we play a key role in how our children perceive the world, how they react to situations, and how they feel about themselves and their own self-worth. And there are two ways in which we affect our kids, right? Listen to this. The first way is our own mental health. So if we're going through, as I just said, a tough time, that can rub off on our kids. They can see it, they can pick up on it, they can emulate it, they can just feel it, right? So that can affect their mental health if we have poor mental health that isn't managed effectively. And secondly, our parenting style. Have you ever stopped to think what your parenting style actually is and how it affects the kids or your kids? Because it does. So studies have consistently shown a connection between parents' mental health and the mental health of their children. You hearing that? A massive connection between the mental health of you and the mental health of your children. If a parent faces anxiety disorders, their children are 4 to 6 times more likely to also develop an anxiety disorder in their lifetime. And if a parent's facing depression, their children are 3 to 4 times more likely to develop depressive conditions. You see that? You see how much your mood, not just your mood, but your mental state can rub off on your children, and how they then, in their adulthood, in their lives at some point, will also be susceptible to developing the same mental health condition. So what do we do? Because you know what, yeah, I'm not about being fake. So if you're going through a tough time, which many of us have and many of us will in the future, what are we supposed to do, just hide it from the kids? No, it's not about that. Getting sad, getting depressed, getting down is normal. None of us can exist in this like happy zone 24/7. That is just not real life. But how we handle it and how we deal with our children when we're going through it is what matters. Communication is super important. So we've got to talk to our children in an age appropriate way and explain what's happening. Like literally, like what is happening? Why maybe you're feeling sad? If it's appropriate, of course. Because, you know, communication leads to healthy relationships and healthy conversations about mental health. It's a good thing to reinforce to children that mental health is something everyone has and that it's important to take care of it. And also, remember to do whatever it takes to take care of your own mental health. There's no shame in getting help if you need to do that. If it's a break, if it's a therapist or other professional interventions, who cares? As long as you are okay mentally and therefore your baby's or baby is okay mentally. Nobody wants to see a broken down mother or a broken down father. And as a result of that, a broken down child who struggles to cope in life. No one wants to see that. So get the help you may need to be a better parent, to have a healthier and happier home.
Tell me more, mummy.
Now listen to this. The other way we can affect their mental health, right, is through our parenting styles. I saw a post on social media recently that spoke out about the importance of not praising your kids too much. And while I take many posts with a massive pinch of salt, let's just say a whole tablespoon of salt, this one, I did see a bit of truth in it, because when you praise your child too much, right, and they come to you and they show you something and you just, that's brilliant, you did amazing, blah, 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 I can get why a loving, caring parent would think it's the right thing to do. I mean, I do it all the time, to be fair, but I'm trying to consciously not do it all the time, because it kind of leads to an overdependence of outsider validation. Like your child coming to you and waiting for you to say, oh, this is brilliant, you've done really well. That can lead to a child that needs to be a people pleaser later in life. Like they're always waiting for somebody else to validate them or to say that what they've done is good. And that's not what we want. I'm a people pleaser. I'm still trying to unlearn a lot of my ways, but I am definitely like that and I hate it. I just want to just be more like, this is me. If you like it, that's your business. If you don't, that's also your business. It's not mine. Do you see what I mean? And that's what I'm trying to get to. So I'm trying really hard not to make my children people pleasers, but I think they are at the moment, because by me trying to be a good parent, I've always been that, let's praise them. You know, let's praise them, let's encourage them, make them believe that what they've done is of worth and it's good. And that's also important, but within reason. What I'm trying to say is, I guess you want them to see the value in their own work before, you know, before they seek outside validation or someone else that could come along and say, I hate it, that's rubbish. Because if they know within themselves, you know what, well, what I've done is good, and they've got that confidence, then no matter what anyone says, who cares? They need that resilience, and that's going to be built by not overly praising them for like every single thing they do, as much as it sounds mean. Hopefully you get that. I'm guessing it made sense. Oh, if it didn't, Google it. Now, back to parenting styles, right? So the style of your parenting has a tremendous impact on your child's mental health. This one's going to be hard hitting, guys. Specifically, the way in which you engage with your child, handle conflict and punishment, and encourage your child in life can also play a role in your child's mental health long term. This is wild, because you know what? When you have kids, no one gives you a manual. No one says, this is how you do it. You know, do this, don't do that. And why should they? Because you've got to learn to parent in your own way. You know, you've got to find your way yourself and do what's right for you. Take the good, drop the bad, and just figure it out. But that's also a tough ride, because parenting can be the ghetto. It's tough out here. It's really tough out here. And especially when you're trying to raise healthy, respectful, like creative, intelligent, ambitious kids. It's like the list is endless. But at the same time, you want to make sure that their mental health is a priority, because they can be all those things and have poor mental health, and Lord knows they will suffer in life.
That's a no.
So there are basically around 4 different parenting styles. Which one are you? I'm going to read them out, and I want you to try and put yourself in one of these categories and do it honestly as well, because, you know, what's the point in lying? The first of them is called authoritarian parenting, which is basically, if you just imagine like an army regiment style boot camp, it's basically extremely strict parenting style, which is all about following the rules of the parents. The children get very little say in this. The parents want to control the movements of their children more than they want to nurture them. Think of the boot camp, and there you have authoritarian style parenting. So children who receive this style are very well behaved in social situations and become timid whenever they fall out of line. Oh, then you've got authoritative parenting, which is basically a lot more warm and supportive parents who still provide rules and boundaries, but it's a bit more, I guess I could say, flexible. So this style is the one that pretty much every parent thinks that they fall into, and they don't. The style is basically for parents who want the best for their children's futures. So they steer them in the right direction, providing rules, boundaries, and, you know, a household that's created with rules similar to those in real life, so that children are best prepared for real life. Children who are raised by this kind of parent are those who are well behaved typically in about pretty much all situations and tend to understand more about what will impact their futures than one would assume. So authoritative parents are firm, assertive, and consistent. They're not harsh, not rigid, not punitive, and they're definitely not restrictive. They give their children firm limits, but try to explain their actions to teach children morals, values, and goals. It's all about teaching critical thinking and reinforcing positive, responsible behavior, because they care about their children's well-being and they respect autonomy. It's like a democratic parenting style, because it allows parents to negotiate with children, to consider children's feelings and their emotions on certain situations. Whereas I guess if we're looking at authoritarian, it's not the same. There's no negotiation. You do as I say right now when I say to do it. Do you know what I mean? Then we come to permissive parenting, which is essentially warm and nurturing while having little limits and little boundaries on children's behavior. Basically, these are the parents who are very much involved in their child's life, very highly involved, but they place very few demands or controls on the child. I've met a few of these parents before. I'm not a permissive parent. I mean, I'm just too much of a firm boundary kind of parent for that. But I have met a few permissive parents before, and I'm not saying one is better than the other. far, although it kind of is, and I'm not saying the other one's wrong, but there are outcomes for every kind of choice you make in life. There are outcomes, right? And it's interesting. So permissive parents, by their style, they are very, very much invested in the child's emotional well-being. They don't like to say no. They don't like saying no because they are fearful that it will disappoint the child. And they believe it's important to be friends. That reminds me of, like, you know, when Jamaican parents say, I'm not one of your little friends. I'm not one of your little friends, you know. We're not the same size. That's what it reminds me of. So yeah, I don't think a lot of Jamaican parents are permissive parents, but essentially, yeah, setting very few rules. And if you even do set them, it's very unlikely you actually enforce them because you're kind of like a soft, you're a soft parent. Do you know what I mean? And another way of describing permissive parenting style is also passive parenting style, or laissez-faire. And then we've got the fourth style, which I'm sure absolutely zero people listening to this podcast are going to say, yes, this is me. Absolutely not. And that is neglectful parenting or uninvolved parenting. It's cold. It's negligent. It's basically the parents who maybe shouldn't have had kids. They just don't deserve to have kids because they don't even want to bother to parent. That is the fourth star. I won't go into too much detail on that one because I don't believe any of you listening are going to fall into that category. So let's focus on the first three. You've got authoritarian, authoritative, and permissive. Now, research has shown that the best style, I hope you've worked out which one you are before I say this, but the best style is to be authoritative. Because you leave leeway for the children. There's a little bit of negotiation in there. You know, you're reasonable, but you're firm. There are boundaries. And you give the child room to be who they are within that. It's not like straight up, I'm saying do this, so you have to do this. So psychologists have done a lot of studies into which one is the best parenting style, obviously, because it's important, right? We need to know how best to parent our kids so that we can ensure they grow up to be very decent and very nice, kind humans, not absolute assholes. So studies indicate that children of authoritative parents have more positive psychological outcomes and better mental health. They feel loved and cherished. They have fewer behavioral issues. And they develop a strong sense of attachment and security, and also independence and confidence. The foundation that's been built because of the parenting style contributes to the overall happiness and the higher self-esteem of children who've been brought up with the authoritative parenting style. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then if we move on to authoritarian, now these guys, when they grow up, they're likely to be the ones who follow rules, but also hold unresolved anger issues. They've never had a chance to speak up. They've never had a chance to say what they want. It's always been, they've been told what to do. So the authoritarian, which is also known as like the disciplinarian or autocratic approach, is those children who, I think we all know kids like this, or I've seen them in the classrooms. They're a bit more anxious, a bit more withdrawn, a bit more unhappy. And studies have shown that they are more likely to have mental health issues, including depression, suicide attempts, alcoholism, and drug use. They are more likely to be lower in self-esteem as well and perform worse academically. And it's kind of as expected, because if you think about having over-controlling parents, it doesn't give you the opportunity or give the child the opportunity to develop self-regulation or independent decision-making skills. You've been told what to do your whole life and how to do it and when to do it. Where is the leeway? Where's the freedom for expression and, you know, finding oneself? There is none. Although, side note, there are certain communities where I think an authoritarian approach is probably favored, such as in certain Black communities, because we know racism is real and we know how it feels to raise children who are more likely to be scrutinized by society, scrutinized by the police, pulled over for stop and search. So you just need to ensure, it's so sad, isn't it? You got to even think differently, but it is what it is. But you just need to ensure that your kids understand the ways of the world. Like, you need to understand respect boundaries very firmly, because I'm not having you go out there and do something stupid and get yourself into trouble, even though, you know, it happens even when the kids are brought up in nice, relaxed households. It doesn't matter, all strict, it doesn't matter. Racism. But anyway, that's a digression. Let's move on.
Positive vibes only, mommy.
And then we go to the permissive parenting. What are those kids like? What is the impact of permissive parenting style on the children? Were you parented by a permissive parenting style? I don't know. Were you? And do you choose that style? Like, who's going to own up to permissive? Which is not a bad thing. It's just mad relaxed. But research shows children brought up under permissive parenting can display a sense of, wait for it, entitlement. You know those ones where it's just like, I want it because I said I want it. I want it now. Give it to me. Because they're just used to getting their own way. Do you see what I mean? They're just used to a little bit spoiled, a little bit bratty. And that's why for me, that style would never work for me because I can't stand, I cannot stand entitled people. And also they are at higher risk of health problems such as obesity, sleep deprivation, and tooth decay because permissive parents don't really set limits or boundaries. They're also prone to disregarding rules and are shown to have antisocial behavior problems because they weren't raised with rules. So, you know, why would they respect rules? They're doing what they want. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is that we're all just doing our best, right? Like I said, there's no manual that comes with parenthood. And if there was, I'm not sure I'd read it because, you know, who wants to follow the rules and produce little copy and paste versions of their own children? You don't want to do that. You want your children to be unique individuals with the ability to do critical thinking and not just be brainwashed and, you know, following like sheep throughout society. So we don't want a manual, but we also recognize that parenting is hard and it's the ghetto, as I said earlier on the podcast. What can we do? If you look at your parenting style, if this podcast has made you question what category you fit under, you might be a bit of both. You might be a bit of one and a little bit of the other. And there's no right or wrong, but you have to acknowledge that there are implications. And this is like psychological research. You can't ignore research. You cannot. There are implications of doing one or the other and how that impacts your child. So just bear in mind what you've had and whether or not you're happy with the style of parenting that you choose to have. And there are so many other ways into the day where you can also positively affect your child's mental health.
Tell us more, mommy.
And some of these I recognize I am guilty of. Myself and my husband are guilty of. So basically being less critical and being more praise. Does that make sense? Using more praise, I should, probably should say. So acknowledging what your child does well as opposed to focusing on what maybe they are not that great at. And there's been times I can tell you, hands in the air, honestly, I focused on the opposite. I'm like, well, why can't you do it? It's not that hard. And then I hear myself and I'm like, you witch, that is really mean. So yeah, try and focus on what they're doing well as opposed to what they're not doing well. And validate their feelings as well. Like always acknowledge your child's emotions, even if you might not agree with them. I always try to do that. Help them feel heard and understood and keep open conversations about emotions going. Like keep them going. It's so important, especially for boys where in life they're taught that it's not cool to have emotions. It's not okay. It's not like, you know, a masculine thing to talk about your feelings. Yes, it is. Okay, it's very important. And I will keep telling anybody who will listen how important it is. We know the figures, we know the stats on male mental health, male suicide. So it's super important. Another one that I recognize in our household, we are guilty of, we are all learning, we are all doing our best, guys. Okay, so I'm not going to sit here in front like, yeah, I've got it all together. We are such good parents. We are good parents, but we also make mistakes. And I know that. As I did my research for the show, I recognized that some of these we are guilty of. And this one is basically setting rules and not ultimatums. We do a lot of ultimatums. I think a lot of parents do. If you're honest with yourself, do you do ultimatums or threats? If you don't do this, I'm not going to let you have a snack. If you don't da-da-da-da, then you're not going on the trip this weekend. You're not going to go, do you know what I mean? You kind of like, yeah, you try to bribe them because sometimes we've got to do what we've got to do to get by and to get those kids to listen because Lord knows sometimes their ears ain't working. So yeah, apparently by using less ultimatums but more rule setting, you'll get a better outcome and also help your children's mental health. And as I touched on earlier, it's about showing your children that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to have off days. It's okay to, and I do that all the time, like, my kids think I'm some jolly, always happy kind of person. And there's days when I'm not. Obviously, I'm human. And when I'm not, I make a point to say to them, look, mummy's not feeling great today. I've got a headache or I don't know, I just feel funky. I woke up, I feel funny. You know how that can happen. And I make a point of it. And that is okay. And I just say, what I'm going to do, though, I'm not going to spread my funk to anyone else. I'm going to do things that make me feel good. And one of my things is putting on gospel music. So I'll put on my gospel music and I'll start singing and that will help uplift me. So it's about teaching your children like different coping strategies to deal with, healthy coping strategies to deal with their mental health when they may be struggling. And obviously you are very much a representation of what is a good thing to do for them. They're going to look at you and see you as, okay, well, what mummy does is what I'm going to do. So show them something good, like be a good mirror image for them, basically. And the last one is something that I will say I'll say I'm very good at this one, which is keeping communication open. It's really important to be honest with your kids and open with them about feelings and communicate frequently, because it will establish the greatest form of trust that you can have with your children. And it will set a stage for like a really healthy long-term relationship, and also really healthy long-term mental health, because that's what it's about ultimately, ensuring that your kids are able to cope, because we know life throws many battles our way, and as they get older and they learn to be independent and they're not little babies anymore, they've got to stand on their own 2 feet, and you want them to do that with a really firm grounding, a really firm foundation of how to cope, coping strategies, communication, and just recognizing who they are. So I'm going to leave it at that, guys, and say thank you so much for listening today. I hope you learned something new. And even if it's just a little bit of self-reflection on how you choose to parent, or maybe why you are the way you are, if you reflect on maybe how your parents are or how your parents were. So to acknowledge that and go forward and ensure that we are doing the best we can to raise amazing humans. You've got this, girl. You've got this, guy. I'm just saying that for both, in case there's a guy listening, of course. Even though I know there's mainly mothers listening to the podcast. Lots of love, and I'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Bye.
Remember, life is short. Enjoy it. Hope you have a lovely day. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to share it.